This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Boom! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Check out The Ticket, Facebook, X, everywhere you're on your socials, YouTube, podcast platforms, Amazon Prime, television, radio, theticketfm.com, also The Carriker Chronicles. Basically two places. You can follow me on all the socials as well, but basically two places, CharakterChronicles.com, also YouTube, type in Character Chronicles. It's time to give our predictions. We got boxing. We've got the only game that matters, Nebraska, USC, and then all the other college football games. Let's start with boxing. Jake Paul or Mike Tyson. Jake, who you taking?
Well, I'm definitely cheering for Mike Tyson, but I don't know. I mean, he's 58 years old. I think I've got to go with you. Now, you think, okay, you know, if Mike Tyson was just facing a guy that doesn't know how somebody that doesn't know how to box, then Mike Tyson would dominate him, right? But I think Paul's had enough experience that he'll get the win tonight.
Like, he's won some pro fights.
Yeah.
Now, you watch their training videos. I will admit, Tyson actually looks faster, even at the age of 58. He looks faster. He looks more impressive. But they had to, just a reminder, they had to postpone training and postpone the fight because Tyson had a serious medical issue, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sure he's been clear that they wouldn't be doing it. The longer this fight goes, obviously, the more it favors Jake. If Jake can get out of the first three rounds and avoid that early, bam, Mike Tyson knockout blow, I'm going to go with Jake. Not a whole lot of confidence. I'll go 60% confidence on Jake. All right, let's dive into a little bit. Well, let's go with Nebraska. Then we'll do overall college football. All right, Danton Lynn. Could you imagine? Like, he was UCLA's defensive coordinator. USC said, hey, come on over here, join us. Don't even have to move out of your house. We're going to take our biggest rival's head defensive guy. But he's now with USC. Here are some of the things he had to say when it came to Dana Holgorsen. He is, by the way, USC's defensive coordinator, if you didn't know. All right. He said, and I quote, "You have to go off what you see on tape. Obviously, watching some Houston stuff, what were they good at? What did they do there that they already do at Nebraska? And then what were his staples where in a span of 2 weeks that he could incorporate them in the scheme?" He basically said, an end quote, but he basically goes on, I'm going to paraphrase, that it's been kind of a nightmare and he's been staying up late at night trying to figure out what in the heck Holgorsen's going to do. So we do have the element of surprise. Once we play a game, Wisconsin will have that tape. So we do have a little bit of the element of surprise. When it comes to Nebraska, when it comes to USC, I made a prediction earlier this week, and I did not yet know if Dylan Raiola was going to play. I don't think I'm going to change that prediction. I kind of thought he was going to play, and even if Harburg played. Harburg did some things the last time we were on the football field that I actually, you know, thought maybe Dylan hadn't been doing. So I didn't, I think Dylan gives us the best opportunity to win, but I didn't think there was a gargantuan drop between how Dylan's played recently, and hopefully that drastically improves. Talked earlier how it can improve rather quickly, actually, and what we saw from Harburg. So I'm going to go with the same prediction I put out earlier this week. That's the good guys, 27, the other guys, 24. Nebraska, 27, because we're either going to make two field goals or miss a PAT. Both are just as likely, by the way. Like, that's how wildly unpredictable this team is. In my opinion, it's just as likely that we'll make two field goals as we will miss a PAT. Which one do you think is actually more likely, Jake? If you had to, like, choose.
I would say make two field goals, but they're just coming off a missed PAT. So
that's kind of my point. All right, I digress. Nebraska 27, the Trojans of Southern California. And I'm curious, do they even want to play? Do they even want to be there? Trojans 24. Not a lot of confidence. I'm going to go about 60-40, just like the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight. I move it on to the next game. We got UCLA-Washington. Washington very up and down this year. UCLA looks like they're a pretty good team, though. And in fact, when they play USC in a couple of weeks, I'm going to predict UCLA to win that game. I got UCLA over Washington. You look at Texas versus Arkansas. Why would I even talk about this? Because Arkansas has played a couple of top 10 teams really close this year. Was it? And they beat Tennessee. It was Tennessee they beat earlier this year. Yeah, they beat Tennessee. I remember that. So they've got the capability of winning Texas big. All right, Utah, Colorado. Utah is a team that is getting healthy. Their defense is healthy. They have not been healthy. They're still without their quarterback. They're still without their tight end. They're not going to be explosive. That is just not who they are. That is not what they do. But they can keep this game close. They can keep it interesting. The only concern I have is the letdown after the way that BYU game ended. Colorado has every reason to be motivated and excited about this. The tickets for this game, like the cheapest tickets you can find, are about $200. Okay, people don't spend that kind of money in Boulder, Colorado, unless they're going skiing. So for me, I'm going to go with Colorado. All right, next up on the docket, let me scroll down just a smidge here. Mercer, Alabama, who you got, Jake?
Going to lean toward Alabama.
I made you think about it, though, 60, for a second.
60-40 type of thing. Like 60.
That's great. I love that. All right. I only want to talk about Penn State versus Purdue because I just want to talk about the horrifically, horribly weak schedule Penn State has played. All right. Here's all the teams they beat. West Virginia, 5-4. Bowling Green, 5-4. The mighty Kent State, who finally led for the first time all year and then lost 34-7 to Miami of Ohio. But they're 0-9. Now they're 0-10, actually. Illinois, 6-3. UCLA, 4-5. USC, 4-5. Wisconsin, 5-4. Washington, 5-5. The best team they played is one game over 500. Although they left off Ohio State off this list. Obviously, well, they lost. That's why. They haven't beaten anybody with better than a 5-4 record. That being said, I just want to talk about that. They're going to beat Purdue. But I just want to talk about that. LSU at Florida. Oh, it's LSU all day, right? I'm going with Florida. Billy Napier has the most brutal schedule I have ever seen. I know Georgia's strength of schedule, and I've talked about a lot, is ranked number one, but you look at Florida's schedule, I've called it an NFL schedule, and they are like 500 with a chance to go to a bowl game, which is crazy. I'm going with Florida mostly because it's at home in the swamp. All right, we talked about the good guys and the other guys, Nebraska, USC, Missouri, South Carolina. All right, this is an interesting one. Missouri was a preseason top 10 team. South Carolina was on hardly anybody's radar. By the way, Chris Mad Dog Russo, here's a quote that he had. Let's see here. The Big Ten stinks. South Carolina and the SEC would win the Big Ten. I mean, I know Ohio State and Oregon are pretty good, but the Big Ten, I mean, Penn State, how is Penn State fourth in the country? Penn State, who never beats anybody, and got drilled by Ohio State at home, and they got drilled. South Carolina would beat them all, end quote. So there's his thoughts. That Missouri team, whose two big games of the year been on the road, this is on the road in Columbia, South Carolina, they lost those two games to A&M and Alabama by a combined score of 75-10. I'm taking South Carolina, who some people think still has a very outside shot of getting in the playoff. Oregon, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a 13.5-point favorite. Here's the only thing that makes me nervous, because Oregon's the better team. This is Oregon's eighth straight game. Wisconsin's coming off a bye. We've already talked about previous weeks how hard it is to fly multiple time zones as a college student and win. Oregon's eighth straight game on the road. They got to travel two time zones. Wisconsin's fresh off a bye. This is their Super Bowl. That's the only thing that makes me nervous. That being said, the spread is 13.5. I'm going to take Oregon in the points. But it makes me nervous, Jake. I want you to know, even though I'm taking them 14 to win by 14 or more. I will say this. I've talked to some coaches across the country. They believe Oregon is the fastest team in America. And I'm not just talking about their wide receivers. I'm talking about their D-line, their linebackers. Like, there's a lot of coaches who don't even believe it's an argument. They are the fastest team in America. Belongs to the Oregon Ducks. All right, who else we got here? Oh, shout out to the Nebraska volleyball team. All right, they dominated the first set over Minnesota 25-12. Actually lost their first set that they've actually lost. I think it's 10 matches. But came back and beat Minnesota, who's a ranked team, in phenomenal. All right, in a phenomenal, the set. They won the first set, lost the second set, and won the match in four sets. Easy for me to say, but they had to fight, scratch, and claw. They're not always going to be pretty. Sometimes it's ugly. Sometimes it's a dogfight, not just in football, but in other sports. It's how do you find a way to win? So shout out to Nebraska volleyball, BYU and Kansas. BYU is only favored. Kansas is 3-9, or 3-6 in 9 games. BYU is only favored, undefeated, by the way, top 10, by the way, by 2.5 points versus a 3-6 Kansas team. Kansas was bad earlier this year, but they haven't been bad recently. I have to point out, though, home field is generally considered to be 3 points to the odds makers. They're basically saying on a neutral field, 3-6 Kansas, it's a coin flip versus BYU. I will say this, Kansas just beat previously undefeated Iowa State. And their quarterback, he went from completing about 50% of his passes the first five games to the last four, 60%. Total yards per game went from 182 to 304. Total touchdowns, he almost doubled. And his interceptions went from 8 in the first five games to 1 in the last four. That's the difference. Jalen Daniels is playing like he can. Keep an eye on that BYU-Kansas game. I'm going to take BYU, but I'm going to go 51-49 on that confidence meter. All right, any games we're missing here? Tennessee-Georgia. How much time we got left? That's the last one I want to talk about.
Yeah, we got a few minutes.
All right. I feel like both teams have to win this game. And I'm still going to say there might be a three-loss SEC team or Big Ten team that gets in. Like, let's say BYU is undefeated. They go play Colorado and they lose. Who are you going to put BYU over? Are you going to put them over Alabama? Are you going to put them over if Georgia has two losses? Are you going to put them over a two-loss Georgia team? Like, Colorado is then in at that point as the Big 12 champ into the college football playoff. This might be a scenario where BYU has to win all their games. And it probably is that way for Georgia. It probably is that way for Tennessee. Their starting quarterback, Nico Iamaliava, is out for the game. But he wasn't exactly setting the world on fire. You watch them play versus Bama, and they won that game due to great defense. But there was guys running wide open downfield. He finally hit one late in the top corner of the right end zone, top right corner of the end zone, I should say. But they were open. He's missing them. So I don't know anything about their backup quarterback. I'm going to take Georgia in this game. The last time I looked before the news of the quarterback, Nico Iamaliava being out, was released, the spread was 9.5, and I thought that was large. I'm taking Georgia, but I'm taking Tennessee with the points. Now I might take Georgia at home. They're angry. They've had to play at Texas. They've had to play at Bama. They've had to play at Ole Miss. They finally get to come home. Those fans are going to be going nuts. If they win, they're in. They will. I know they're out right now. They will eventually be in the playoff. But if they lose, they might be out. There is a scenario, again, that I pointed out earlier, possibly maybe 9-3 Georgia, 12-1 BYU. If Georgia loses again and BYU loses in the Big 12 championship game, that could be a decision for that 11th, 12th seed that the committee has to make. And I'll be honest with you, I would go with Georgia at that point, especially with their schedule. But looking right now, Georgia, Tennessee, this is basically a must-win game for both teams if they want to ensure their college football playoff hopes are still alive and basically they control their own destiny. And again, I know Georgia's out right now. They're the first team out right now. They'd be the 13th seed in a 12-team field, so they'd be the first team out. Somebody's going to fall, and they're going to get in as long as they keep winning because they're Georgia and because of their strength of schedule. Tennessee, if they went out, they're in. They might be in the SEC title game. If they get down to two losses, they're probably in. Like, think of a two-loss Tennessee team. Who's played teams like Bama and Georgia and some of these other good teams versus a one-loss BYU. But they've not looked pretty. And if Nico Iamaliava's injury persists, the committee has shown they'll take that into consideration. Just ask Florida State. They take injuries into consideration. This is kind of a must-win game. I'm now going to take Georgia and Georgia with the points. And I know nothing about Tennessee's backup quarterback. Maybe the gap between him and the starter Iamaliava isn't even that great, but I'm going to take Georgia plus the points because they're pissed, and I guarantee Kirby Smart's been ripping into him like a monkey on a cupcake all week. Ladies and gentlemen, have a phenomenal weekend. Go, Big Red Nose. Remember, throw the bomb.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.